This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Much like Jimmy couldn't get it up, I can't get excited for this episode.
Get excited.
Hello and welcome to your mom's podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Caroline.
I'm Avis.
And today we are discussing Degrassi Season 6, Episode 4, Can't Hardly Wait. Roses are red, Darcy's a cheer tater, and Jimmy's penis is a fucking hater. Jimmy's senior year 2 electric boogaloo is off to a pretty good start. He's coaching the junior girls basketball team. He and Ash are back together, and he and Spin are stronger than ever. Unfortunately, Jimmy is still struggling with the limitations of his post-shooting body. Though he's put in a lot of work coming to terms with the fact that he'll likely never walk or play ball again, he just cannot reconcile with the idea of being a virgin forever. Luckily, Ashley is insanely supportive, even as Jimmy tries desperately to push her away. Over in the B-plot, holier-than-thou Darcy lets the power of being Spirit Squad captain go to her head and casts some nasty judgments on new student and teen mom Mia Jones. Good thing Darcy is a saint who would never do anything promiscuous, or she sure would look like a hypocrite next week.
I think you mean Mia Jones.
Is it Mia Jones?
It's Maya.
The way I care so little about Mia that it could be Maya and I wouldn't.
No, it's a joke because Manny, when she calls her in to the audition,
yeah.
She's like, Maya Jones, it's like it's Mia. And my brain is trying to think about how her name has to be spelled for Manny Manuela Miss Cinnamon Toast Crunch Santos to think it could be pronounced Maya. How must it be spelled, Manny?
It's spelled Mia, though. Like,
it
you know
is.
This.
It is. So that's why I'm looking at Manny like, honey, how is it spelled? Why do you think it's Maya?
Because she's had a long day.
And clearly.
She's had a really long day. You saw those auditions.
Evidently, she's pissed off and she's like, I'm going to mispronounce the three-letter name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like there's just, this show wants too much of me right now in the way of having to view Darcy and her bullshit. And I'm just over it because it's like, you guys don't know this and it's not super relevant. I thought that we had moved past it because we recorded out of order, but we didn't. We haven't moved past it. We went back.
No, we're here now.
We're here now, but we know what happens. We know what happened anyway. But now it's like next week, we've got to watch this lady essentially like cyber cheat on her her boyfriend and lie about it.
I really hate like it, Manny's always been like the sidekick best friend, but it's like they move her away from Emma, which could be good, except they give her to Darcy, who's just not any better.
Darcy is the fucking like devil's worst spawn.
Like, and why is Manny like, Darcy was so mean to Manny, and yeah, she really doesn't apologize.
She does not apologize at all. It's like, and oh, then I'm sorry immediately is like offended.
Cunty as fuck.
Yeah. So I'm glad I'm captain then. Bitch, then be captain and you don't know how to choreograph. Be right. The captain then. Because at least when Paige Michaelchuk was the captain, she also had the added weight of coming up with all of the fucking routines and all of the cheers, which is part of the reason why she had several mental breakdowns.
Well, and like, I copied, one of them very public. I wrote down the cheer that they do.
Oh,
that
oh,
we
God.
See Manny like training the girls on. And it's
blue.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to shout it out?
Blue.
And gold. We are Degrassi.
Like, I mean, the arm movements. It's so basic.
Did Darcy write that? Like, did she pick this? She's the captain.
Did she come up with the count for it as well? Because I'm crying.
It's so, right?
I'm crying, and Michael amateur Chuck
is
dancer.
Rolling over in her grave, and she's not even dead yet.
Wait, it's giving Big Red turning over the squad to Torrance. And, like, she's creeping in the corner. She's like, I gave you, the platter, national hello. Like, bitch, why do you think, like, what are you doing? You cannot be, I feel like, obviously, you're not qualified to be captain. If you need to contract one of your team members to choreograph your shit and you're coming up with these mediocre ass cheers, you're not qualified to be captain. I was about to say this sunlight is giving autumn, but guys, it's my lamp. And that is how I am. I wish that I was high enough to justify that. I'm not. But I'm like, oh, the sun in my background, it's so low in the sky. It's kind of like autumn sun. It's a lamp. There's a lamp. Yeah, it's not a fun. I don't like how much Darcy we are getting this season. I can't stand a fucking hip. I don't care
like,
if you're a teenager.
Stop trying to make Darcy happen.
Stop trying to make Darcy happen. I don't care if you're a fucking teenager. It's annoying. I'm pissed. I don't want to watch it. I don't care. Like, she literally turns right around. She is the one who, like, embodies that phrase of, like, you turn right around. She turned right around and did the same shit that she is shaming right. Maya Jones for. Like,
no, I'm sorry. What Darcy did was way worse.
It's way worse.
Like, Mia presumably had sex with a dude she thought loved her.
Was in a relationship with that she thought loved her, if you want to, you know, make it more like, because she split. This girl just has a problem.
Darcy sold lewds on the internet to strangers.
Yeah, on sight unseen.
And then she's going to date the guy who hooked her up with these strangers and lied to her and told her that he knew them.
She's going to date him so much quicker than I thought she was going to date him.
Yeah.
The ink is not even like dry on like
six.
I just like the two characters that are the fucking worst we see so much of.
But yeah, so that's the B plot.
I feel like I'm gonna go through my notes, but it feels like there's no good parts of this.
Yeah, I feel like my notes are just me calling Darcy a cunt for the most part.
And, like, that's probably the truth for me. But, I think also...
Oh, I did say that Jimmy was a good coach for the girls' junior basketball team when the fight broke out, and he was like, nope, stay here.
Yeah.
That was some good coaching, coach.
good coaching, coach indeed. What I hate about this show is that they keep trying to push Manny's boundaries. First with Peter.
Yeah.
And now with fucking Darcy. No is a complete sentence. And I am still learning that for a myriad of reasons. But primarily because society makes women feel so bad about saying no. Mm-hmm. And just walking away. Like, Manny did not owe Darcy shit. She should have just been able to say no and walk away.
No, remember last year when you called me a slut?
Remember last year when you called me a slut? No, and walk away. And it shouldn't have been like that Darcy had any sort of like charisma to get her back on her side or anything. Like, why doesn't the show just want Manny to have boundaries that are not being violated? Like, it pisses me off that, okay, she's supposed to be the one who's saving everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, she's the one that's good at everything, but she's ultimately the one that's being used for everything.
Right.
Like,
no, Manny is so, like, criminally one-dimensional at the end of the day.
Right.
And it's frustrating because it's like you can see all of this shit beneath the surface.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, they're just like, you're Emma's friend. Now you're Darcy's friend. Everybody that says they love you is kind of horrible to you.
Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean,
you know, like Liberty is probably the best friend that Manny has.
Right. And then we don't get her. It's like, I actually made the note that I really like her Manny with Mia, because I feel like they're actually a good duo. I think that Mia in the beginning, and I mean probably would have been
one of my notes was that Mia had so much potential.
She had so much potential indeed. And I feel like they definitely just let her go the way of like insufferability. Like, they'd rather make her insufferable and go JT's route of like if they had left Mia and Manny as a duo and they had let her, like, you know, why are they never friends after this? Like, I think it's a missed opportunity. I think that they're a really good team.
Because they hate Manny.
They hate Manny. They hate her having any sort of positive female relationships.
She's a punching bag for this show.
She is. It's clear.
And it's sad.
It's clear that they don't want her to have anything positive for more than an episode to serve as a plot device, because she can't not be on the Spirit Squad 2 years in a row.
Well, it's like,
so they have to get it together.
The moral of Manny Santos is don't be kind-hearted because everybody will just be horrible to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you wore a thong one time and fucked Ashley Kerwin's boyfriend who told you he was in love with you.
Right. I just feel like the tyranny that Darcy exhibits is the main reason why these fucking clubs need an advisor that's a teacher. No club that I was ever a part of in any school would have a club without an advisor. Even in college, most clubs, like, you still had to have an advisor, even if they didn't come to every practice or game or whatever, or meeting. There, you still have to have someone sponsoring and like overseeing, especially in high school, your club.
Well, and I'm not saying every cheerleader in the world is mean, and I'm not saying that there aren't nice cheerleading squads even.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that in particular is a club that I would want supervised. Also, they're doing like flips and shit.
Right.
Well, and like lifts. Like, there should be a grown up there. Mm-hmm. It's a liability.
You're expecting the students to spot the students, and you have no.
Just last year, they intentionally broke a girl's leg.
Right. Like, this seems like what Hatzilakko should be paying attention to. Once again, I think that somebody said like that she did a good job, or that we were talking about, oh, she did a job that was kind of close to the job she should be doing in one of the episodes we just talked about. I think.
No, she's just a horrible
No, child. She's like, why? There's no way that they're insured.
That's and you know what?
Absolutely
you know
no
what?
Fucking way.
Here's where I'm at in things. Could Radich have handled the Rick situation better? Yes. I would bet, though, that it's not Radish's say whether or not Rick got to come back to Degrassi.
No, it's. I mean, I would say it's a
and it was
school,
a point in time.
So he can't control that.
It was a point in time where, like, shootings were barely a thing in America still.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, yeah, he fucked up, but that man lost his job over something that you could have seen coming, maybe, but, like, also back then, maybe not. And Hatzilakos, like, had a student teacher banging a student, and then she slut-shamed that student. A leg was broken, intentionally. A prom queen was stripped down to her skivvies in front of the entire student body, falling off the stage, landing in the arms of a grown-ass man.
Right. Yeah, I feel like there's just some things that happened under, like, we can talk shit about what Radich did or didn't do, but there's a lot of things that, like, the neglect of the student body did not start with him. And it's not going to end Mm-mm. with him. Like, I would say Hatzilakos is, like, literally not paying attention to any of the right shit. She's letting her son run rampant.
Right,
like,
right.
And
like,
being a fucking terror on the student body at large at this point. Like, how many times is he going to help make child porn before you need to step in? And take his
Does she even know
camera.
About the second time?
Probably not.
Probably not. Because
it's all about
probably get at least 2 weeks detention. Maybe not, though, because Darcy consented not to sharing her photos with a stranger, but to sharing her photos with a guy that Peter knew from prep school or boarding school or summer camp or something.
It's like, I forget what show or movie that says this line, but it's like, I knew you were lying because your lips were moving. That's Peter. Like, you cannot trust. Like, as soon as he's like, oh, yeah, I know Adams. The girl says he's cute. He plays soccer. This is all a fucking lie. I knew it the moment I
watched
this.
That episode hasn't happened yet, but yeah.
It hasn't? In the future.
No, it's the next episode. We just already.
Well, I'm a kid. The way I don't give a fuck about, like, these people.
Podcasts record out of order sometimes.
They do.
It's fine. TV shows record all kinds of out of order. Are you kidding me?
They do. They do.
So, like, cut us some slack, guys. Jeez, it's hard.
We specifically, like, try not to do it because my brain can't handle that kind of shit.
Mine either, but here we are. We had to. And we have to record again this weekend if we want to avoid doing this again.
Right. So can I say that child
No,
is,
you cannot.
That this child is big as hell. Not to body shame a child, but how
she's got like a big head.
She's a big ass baby. She's supposed to be like, what, 3? That baby ain't 3. She's about to be 5. That's a big ass child. They just have her not speaking, like she can't speak yet.
They hired a 5-year-old because you couldn't have hired a better 5-year-old actress if you were gonna age her up like that.
You could, it's like, is she, because they are, okay. She is in JT's
class.
She's a junior. Like, she is supposed to be a junior. Feasibly, she would have to have, and that's like 16, almost 17.
17.
I graduated
so yeah,
at
like
17,
14.
So I'm a little young. I graduated at 17. I turned 18 that July. So
okay,
I'm
well,
16,
we're not all.
I know we're not all, but a median age of 16 or 17. When did she get pregnant? How old is that baby?
Yeah.
Like, that baby is big as hell. That baby big as hell. That baby's at least 4. She don't need, you need to let her walk. She's almost as big as you. And it's like she's a toddler. They have her carrying her around. Like she's a, that's why Mia's back hurts. That's why Mia can't do a right, a herky right. Because her motherfucking back hurts because she's carrying around a 40-pound child who should be walking around this earth by her damn self. Oh. And as we recall, one of our
I could see episodes, Lucas siring a giant child.
Well, yes, her eventual father would support that. I just have to reinforce one of our earlier episode titles that I prefer this Isabella, and I was talking about the guinea pig. Yeah, I was not talking about this child. I can't with this baby. I don't know if it's her face. No offense to her face. She's a cute looking kid, but she doesn't say shit. She doesn't say anything. She's supposed to be like drastically younger than the actress that they cast.
But a 3-year-old still usually is pretty fucking talkative.
A 3-year-old will talk about anything. Even if it doesn't make sense, they're talking. They're talking. They're verbal.
Right.
She's just hugging her little thing. And like, apparently she has opinions and she loves JT. We never see any indication of this.
She's JT's biggest fan.
Well, we would know because she just, like, this little girl just stares. She just stares and she holds her little stuffed animal by the neck and she stares. That's it. It's like, how many more seasons is this child in? At least 2. I think this is my last note about this B plot, and then I'm good. Other than Darcy's such a fucking cunt, which I think that we...
Darcy's such a fucking cunt.
But, of course, you know, the music that they use for the tryouts, go banging, give me some. Go banging, give me some. Push, we pull, and we push. Is the same music that Alex will eventually strip to. Go banging,
no.
Give me some. Go banging, give me some. Pull it, don't. Pull it, don't push.
Okay.
I know. It's the go banging, give me some for me. It's kind of a bang. It's kind of a good song, but it's a terrible song. It's kind of a great song, but it's also really bad. Walks that line, you know? Walks that line. But yeah, that was the B plot for me.
Can you sing it one more time for me?
Go bang it. Give me some. Go bang it. Give me some. Go bang. Give me some. We pull. We push. We pull and we push. Go bang it. Give me some. Go bang it. Give me some. Yeah, you can tell their music budget was so large. They were like all Canadian artists, and the zanier the better, I guess, because
right,
all I can see is that one girl like falling in a cartwheel to the side.
Wait, what's the song?
Go banging, give me some. It's like, why? And then all of those ladies go on to make the squad,
right?
Oh, like, and they're literally like one more corpse, just another thanks but no thanks. Okay, so you had one more spot allegedly, but then you posted a list with several hundred names. Minus Maya Jones.
And none of them were Maya Jones.
And like, I see one of those bitches that did the partial somersault until she fell out of it. So how many people graduated and how did one spot turn into 1,500 slots?
Paige and Hazel graduated.
It was just Paige and Hazel
carrying that whole squad. Paige, Hazel, and Manny, and then
Manny's back.
And isn't Darcy only a sophomore?
Fucking allegedly, dude. I just wish I understood what they're supposed to be doing.
No, she's in season four.
She's a junior, I think. But is she in JT and Liberty's class?
No, she wouldn't be. JT and Liberty are seniors this year.
Oh, right. No, she's a junior.
And Shantae is a super freshman.
Oh, God. They're like, we don't want to recast the black one. That's a hassle. Anywho.
I mean, I suppose that's a little better than they all look the same.
Mm-hmm. We only need one.
Right. Linda Schuyler, we welcome you to join us anytime to answer for these crimes.
The one show nice. Linda's like, I am never going on that show. We're like, why? Why wouldn't you come on the show? Is it because we talk about controversial Linda. Topics or something?
Show some growth. Why were you always pushing age gaps?
I saw this whole rant in one of the Degrassi groups. I don't know if it's the one that I had, but about how Liberty was like pigeonholed into dealing with a number of like ethnically stereotypical topics, despite the fact that she was one of the most
pregnant teenager, baby daddy dies in a stabbing.
Yeah, baby daddy sells drugs. And forcing That's them true. To give their child up for
and overdoses.
Yeah.
Right, Jimmy got shot. It wasn't in gang violence, but still. Promising young basketball star gets shot in the spine.
Right. It's like, it's like you must fall into the trope of ye people or get out. Linda's never going to talk to us, and it's fine.
That's fine.
That's fine. Not that it wouldn't be welcomed. I just think that that's not.
Yeah.
I just think that that's not the vibe. And if our vibe it's is not, like.
Well, and here's the thing. Is if I had committed these crimes and I was ready finally to, like, I don't know, talk about it. It wouldn't be with these bitches who routinely are like, Linda Schuyler, stand before us and answer for these heinous crimes.
Sorry. That evil.
You lady who is into inappropriate relationships and also racist. Like,
oh my God.
And it's not even that I think that. It's that I think, like, Degrassi is a product of its time.
It is very much
like it's not like there was very much on TV that was doing any of that shit better,
right?
But, and
you know, there's still
Degrassi. You were supposed to be the one that did it better.
We can still discuss what was wanting. You know what we felt was lacking here, and I don't think that that's a bad thing. I think that that's just the nature of media aging. It doesn't mean we don't love it. It just means that, like, there's it's something called a critical lens, guys, and it's a good thing. It keeps you on your toes. It keeps media, honestly, it keeps it more relevant when you look at it through a critical lens, an ever-changing critical lens. So don't be dicks about it. Nobody, obviously, if you're here, you know that we love Degrassi. You just have some notes, okay?
When you love something, you're willing to, like, help it be better.
Right? If we didn't care.
Which I guess we can't really do, because Degrassi is not, like, fluid. It's set in stone. What's done is done.
Right, but we can help you maybe like look at it from a perspective that you didn't before and like watch it in a different way. Cause I know I watch it differently.
I don't think I'm ever going to watch Degrassi again after we finish the show.
We were watching it casually on the trip. Like, I turned it on. That was the first thing because we had a Roku TV. So I turned on the station. I was so relieved to see,
like, Connor and Allie and Jenna and shit. I was like, thank God.
It was Holly J's kidney storyline. I literally was like, yeah, love you, you know, birth you, but I'm not giving you my kidney without a cool $15,000 check. And then we saw that very same scene. I'm like, oh, we've been knee deep in like this era for so long that it was kind of nice to see the future, but it's also going to be
something after this.
It's going to be a long road, dude. I think it's going to start to be like our format's going to change again. Cause it's changed once before. We're going to figure it out.
Whatever it takes. I know we can make it through. I don't have anything else to say about this.
No, that's getting left in. Okay. Cool. This A plot. Called me gay. This A plot called me gay. It's like, you dirty, filthy lesbian who thinks about sex in terms of, like, non, you know, like, I'll think about the penis and the penetration, but that's not the first thing I'm thinking about. There are many ways to make love, Jimmy.
Yeah, no, honestly, like, I really like Ashley in this episode. She's really, like, and yeah, she does get frustrated because it is hard to be, like, and it's not that he can't get it up. She understands that part. It's that he's, like, get the fuck out of my house. Don't talk to me, you slut. Because he can't get his fucking dick hard.
Jimmy is terrible. Jimmy is the fucking worst he has ever been in this episode by how penile driven he is, and the way that he treats Ashley as and takes it out on Ashley as a result of it, because like,
okay, I can empathize with it. I'm sure that's very hard.
I was gonna say that it's very difficult. There's an empathy there, but there's also, it's not like she is being like, oh, you can't do this, and putting the pressure on him to warrant being lashed out at. Like, he lashes out at her. She is being extremely understanding. She is literally saying, we can just relax, no pressure. And he's like, why don't you come over tonight and get your shit? Because I just don't understand how she does not leave his shit at the door and ring the doorbell and keep get the step. Because, like, I don't understand. You can keep whatever else you got in there. Here's your shit. Because you're not going to talk to me like that. He is extremely rude to her when she is never like, he keeps telling her, okay, you know, she has been very, very understanding. It starts out with him being like, you know, I will draw you.
Surprisingly emotionally mature.
I will draw you. I just, it's not the time, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Then he's like, I'm finally, willing and able. Okay. She is not like, when are you willing? When are you able? Like, when are we going to do this? Like, she hints at, like, I would like to know, like, if I'm doing something wrong and, you know, like, it would be nice if we could, but she's not like beating down his door. Like, what's wrong with your dick? And
right.
He's lashing out at her. Like, she knows the issue. Like, she's been informed about anything until he goes to the doctor and gets what he needs to get to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Like, he very much, and I am not a penis owner. I understand there's a lot of ego tied up with it. I only have the ego attached to my pussy. You know, there's a completely different, it's completely different.
Well, and it's also just like, it's another thing he can't do.
Right. And like, and I get,
it's
And that
and
is
very newly disabled. Like, I do feel for Jimmy, but it's like,
I don't think it gives you the right.
Ashley does not deserve the way that he's treating her.
Right.
At all.
To treat your girlfriend like this.
And like, it wouldn't have been
like
that
this.
Much harder to be like, look, this is embarrassing for me. You're not doing anything wrong, but I would really prefer to be alone for the rest of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, instead of being like, get the fuck out. And then the next day being like, come get your shit. When she did nothing but be like, we can work around this. I love you. I want to be with you. Like, I don't see you being in a chair as a limitation on our relationship. Like, we'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't. He's still at a point where he sees it as a limitation on his life, which it is a reasonable thing to feel, I feel like.
I mean, it is reasonable. I think that from her point of view, she could be oversimplifying, you know, that we can still live our lives to the fullest, because like, she is, I don't know that she is fully understanding that aspect of it. I think that she wants to make him feel better, which is very sweet, but I do think that there's a naivete to that statement of like, you know, we can live a full life, because she doesn't really know what she is saying, because she hasn't lived that yet. She doesn't know what she's going
right.
to want
she had
in 25
sex with Craig
years.
And maybe Allie.
Right. Maybe she doesn't want children now. Maybe she never will. Maybe she doesn't want, you know, this kind of sex now. Maybe she never will, but maybe she will. Maybe she's going to be in a completely mm-hmm. different headspace in 10 years. Maybe she's going to want different things. And to say like, oh, I can always live my life exactly the way I wanted to with you. That might not be the most genuine thing to say, because
right.
she does not know that. And his retort of like, you know, we cannot live whatever, you know, like, however he comes back at her after she's like, we can live our lives. And he's like, I can't live like this.
Well, you're the only one in this equation that has to, Jimmy, so you might want to figure that the fuck out.
No, seriously. Like, you're the one who's going to have to deal with the direct direct reality of this situation. And, like, Ashley is a very solid support system, but we have to kind of take into consideration that, like, Ashley has done the brunt of a lot of the like emotional labor in her relationships, and it mm-hmm. always leads her down a path of like codependence or alienation eventually, because she's just like so overwhelmed that she checks out. And like, not to say that like she doesn't get to have that reaction, because it's first, she's a young person, like this is a lot. Especially it's the same with Craig's, you know, mental issues. That's a lot. This is a lot. This is still a lot to be like, okay, I can pledge that I'm going to be by your side forever. And then no matter what happens, we're going to live our lives and it doesn't matter. Like, maybe she means that, but she could also discover that that's not what she wants, or that's not what she really meant. Or, okay, like, you know, Jimmy is in such the headspace that, like, if he does not get a handle on his resentment of the situation, he could grow up to be a really, like, angry person. And
right.
being, like, how much of a, like, emotional, mature ray of light that she is right now, he will suck that out of her so fast.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No. I'm glad that Ashley and Jimmy, spoiler alert, are not
end game. They're not meant to be together forever. But like, I do think that she restores his faith in his ability to like have a successful relationship. I just think that like they need the honesty that she has within her is only applicable right now. Like, she's saying, this is what I can do and like be for you right now, but she can't really speak to what the future holds, because
right.
just like with Craig, Jimmy has to figure it out. Jimmy has to live and come to terms with what his life is like now as a disabled person with these new developments. And I think a lot of it should be, like, some of it should be spent alone. Just like with Craig.
Well, that's alone exactly, with therapy. I feel
like therapy, please.
Ashley, from what we see, I mean, we know nothing of Allie. But from what we see her in three relationships. Two of them are with Jimmy. And we also see a weird, like, fling flirtation with Sean. Mm-hmm. Like, Ashley is drawn to boy. Is she collects broken toys?
She does. And I feel like she wouldn't know what to do with someone who's not, who doesn't have
who's got some their level shit of together, chip who on doesn't their shoulder. Need her to fix them or right. be the one to, like, love them right.
Mm-hmm.
She's, like, manic pixie dream girling herself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, if that's what it feels like. It's like she is making herself that, like, important, like, oh, I'm so sweet, I'm so understanding, I'm so loving. And it's not that, like, she's not that way, but it's like, oh, I can bring this to the relationship because I am these things and, like, I feel this way. And it's like, you do, but you honestly end up laying yourself down in the name of this relationship. Right. She did it with Craig. I don't know what she did with Allie. That's not our business. Clearly, the show said it doesn't matter. And prior to Jimmy's accident, she put herself in the victim role of, like, you know, you don't know me, you don't accept the real me. And like, there's a level of, like, she is always kind of, like, laying herself down for the relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's like, she's just doing it in a slightly different way now. But I don't think it's going to do Jimmy any good. In the long run, like, he needs to figure out how he genuinely feels. And, like, honestly, what he can bring to a relationship, because he is a teenager who was just physically confined to a chair for the rest of his life. He maybe needs some time alone to sort out his shit.
Right.
Because how much can you really give of yourself when you're going through all of this shit? And you're still figuring yourself out.
Like, he's so young to have his life changed so drastically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so much to, like, carry and figure out. And Ashley needs to stop, like, going for boys who need her, who need to figure shit out.
Right. Like, why not date?
At least not to this degree. And even Jimmy at the beginning was like, my parents don't love me.
Mm-hmm. Goodness. Yeah, Jimmy's got, like, some issues. Like, mm-hmm. stack him up issues.
His parents still don't love him. Now they're trying to kill him. That ramp.
That
I
ramp.
I would die mad about that ramp. That ramp was, like...
It's a bad situation. They wanted to wait to bring him home so they could get rid of him.
It's an act of aggression.
It is. I fear that I'm counting down the episodes until this relationship is over. The disrespect is so high. The level of, like, damn, he said that to you. It's like, why it always got to be y'all two?
Right.
Hey, Jimmy.
Jimmy's so mean to Ashley all the time.
Don't talk to me,
don't talk
slut.
To me, slut.
She just said, hey, Jimmy. That's all she said.
And, like, you guys aren't going out, and she agreed to go to a movie with Sean. If you wanted her to be your girlfriend, you should have asked her out sooner.
Right. Literally... It's some rude ass shit packed in this episode towards Ashley, and he's lucky that she didn't, like, take the motherfucking, like, box of get it up pills and read it in front of the entire school. But no, her reading that box is so mean. It's like, let's see here. It's giving
I don't think
you
she knew what it was gonna
it's
say.
It's giving you showing off your dicks. It's like, let's see here. No, she didn't know. I mean, she's reading the box. She's reading the box. I like information.
She wants to be informed. She wants to be part of this. She wants it to be something that Jimmy feels like not embarrassed about. No, Ashley is great in all of this. I love Ashley Kerwin. She is maybe my favorite character at this point.
It's good to look at it from this lens because then I feel like it's not the same. I don't really remember how I used to watch this show. I feel like maybe I used to watch it and look at Manny more, but it's like I am looking at all of these characters in a different way. And there's a lot that like I'm realizing the attributes of characters I prefer now. It's like, oh, I want, you know, I wish that I had a friend like this in high school. I wish I had someone who was this caring. Like, Ashley is a very caring person. I think that she can just be very misguided with the people she chooses to care for.
A little thoughtless at times.
Yes. But, like, she is also a fucking teenager. So I'm only going to be so mad at her. You know, I'm only going to be so mad at her.
You know who else was surprisingly emotionally mature this episode?
Who?
Spinner Mason.
Oh, you mean because he smacked the shit out of that Christian hoe named Darcy?
No, he was a good friend to Jimmy.
Oh, right. He ain't have cause to smack the shit out of her yet.
He was like, he was supportive and like excited for him when he was like, I got a boner during PT. He was like, way to go, Jimmy.
It is Jimmy like wheeling through the hallways, like smacking hands and stuff and being like, yeah. Yeah, I got right. The boner meds. I got the boner meds, secured the bag, you know.
Well, no, it was because he got a boner.
Right, boner, not boner. Right, after physio. Yes, he got a boner after physio.
Why are we saying boner? I don't know.
Boner,
why
boner,
that's
the word boner, 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 boner.
Honestly, it feels appropriate.
Mm-hmm. I think the sky just opened
up. It's a
up
very,
outside.
Like, juvenile word.
It is.
You got a boner, man.
I'll never forget. When I was in like fifth grade, maybe sixth, I don't remember. And I looked over and the guy next to me was trying to conceal a boner. And I felt so bad for him because I was like, this really be happening to y'all whenever, huh? That must be really inconvenient. And I
right.
felt bad for him. And it was then that I knew I was an empath. No. I always knew I was an empath, but I'm like, he's lucky that I saw and not some other bitch. Cause I feel like there were a lot of mean people who would have been like, excuse me, Miss, I don't even remember which teacher that would have. Oh, probably Miss. I'm not going to say that man's name. That's kind of a name that people would know. Excuse me, Mr. This guy, he's got a boner next to me. I need to be moved.
God, that would be so mortifying.
Like, the way the kids are like, they sniff out fear. They're like, what don't you want
kids
me to
are,
notice?
I don't ever want to be one again.
I don't either. And you know what? Good news. Unless something zany happens. Good news is we don't have to be. Unless something like the plot of
like a Freaky Friday.
Freaky Friday or whatever, the one where it's like you little like 17 again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stay away from rivers and little children with bars of soap and a chemist set in the basement. Bulk bars of soap and chemist sets do not mix, apparently. If you know, you know.
That's fair.
But yeah.
Is there anything more to say about the B plot?
On that fabulous note.
Or the A plot?
I guess that this is probably, okay, I have two things, three things, four things.
Okay.
Where did Jimmy's parents go? Los Angeles? Why is he so comfortable with decoing his entire house in literal fucking wax candles that he's going to have to clean up and explain if he can't clean up prior to his parents returning home? Next.
He can just say that he was meditating.
Not that they pay attention to him. That would be a good lie. Do we think that Jimmy can lie that well?
Yeah, Jimmy's not dumb.
Also, the progression of said candles, I don't think that they let it marinate long enough. I don't think that they tried hard enough to have sex. I'm just going to be honest.
I thought Jimmy had said it had been 2 hours.
Well, that was when, yes, it, no, he said it had been 2 hours well, when he took it. Also,
they were just, like, sitting there awkwardly. They were just
sitting there upright and, like, I don't like how they made, and this is a good segue into Fashion Corner, but I don't like how they made Melissa don a fucking whole lingerie outfit. Only to be shut down by this man-child. Uh-huh. I'm seeing way too much of that phrase.
My mother was supposed to be here for this episode, and she wanted to make a Kendrick Lamar A Minor joke.
That would have been lovely. Yeah,
She said she was going to say something about, like, she was surprised he couldn't get it up because the girl was A minor, but I don't think that Ashley is A minor. So
probably at this point not. Is that why they're so comfortable putting her in lingerie?
Probably. Is that why Jimmy can't get it up?
Ew. That would be really unfortunate. I just don't like how we've got to have her in lingerie. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, they put kids in lingerie a lot.
And I don't fuck with it.
Going forward.
Right, it's like, I don't fuck with it. Like, I don't need, as an adult, and honestly, as a child watching this show, I didn't need that. I did not need it. As someone who also watched Disney Channel, where they literally covered every scrap of those children's collarbones, I'm like, aghast. Like, dear Lord.
They were trying to be more salacious.
Evidently. I think that was accomplished. Wasn't my favorite, though. I was really disappointed in that. I always forget that they did that. I'm like, oh gosh. And I guess I lied. I don't like how they have Jimmy carrying around one pencil. He's an artist. We get it. Stop that. All right, I'm done.
Okay. Fashion show time.
So fashion show time.
I have like three.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's because The Office.
Okay. How many do I have?
Yeah.
That's fine. How many do I have? How many do I have? Okay. My first one is Ashley. She's wearing this, like, it looks like it's got a bunch of, like, tropical leaves on it. And it's, like, a V-neck cross, like, one of those wrap shirts. And it's got a brown shirt underneath, like a cami. I don't know. This era is pretty cute. Like, I feel like they put her in things that could be granny-ish, but she wears them well. Like, I feel like this one leans a little granny.
My first one's also Ashley. She's wearing, like, a purple tank top. Yes. But it's not like spaghetti strap. It's like a wider, with a white belt and jeans. And her hair looks great. Like, Ashley is cute this season.
She is.
She's got a couple, or like a, like, chunky gold bracelet.
Yes, that's the same bracelet she's wearing in the outfit I discussed as well. I like her little earrings, like the flat pendant earrings. They're really cute. Yes, it's definitely a cute look for her this season. I like it a lot. I don't like this for me. This is more calling out the show for making Mia walk around in like the same workout clothes. Like, they're just like, give you a tank top, give you Sophie shorts that roll over, and then we're gonna give you one outfit at the end that's not better.
They She's also, a teen mom, dude.
They also give her a bump it without a bump it hairstyle without the bump it. Oh my gosh. That sometimes when I'm doing my even my locks. The way that I'm like, oh, okay, what if I just, you know, do a little bouffant in the front?
Bumped it?
Yeah. And I'm like, no. Because I did that way too many years. That was like the entire... Why did I ever do my hair like that? Why did we ever do our hair like that?
I don't know, but that's what you're doing with our next photo shoot.
Oh, dear me. Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
My next one is Mia and Manny walking down the hallway, and neither of them is wearing anything particularly remarkable. Mia's got like a yellow tank top under a like light blue, like an aqua polo. And Manny's wearing like a very loose brown top with a gold belt. But they look cute, and they look cute together. This is the friendship Manny deserved.
It is. Does she get it?
No.
No.
No, because Darcy said, don't cheer for me, you slut.
Yes, that's one of the ones I had, too. I also had, well, this is my last one. I guess it's like a combo of the outfits that we mentioned that Ashley was wearing. I did not mention the first Ashley outfit that I had, the one I said skew slightly granny-ish. She is also wearing that belt, that white belt off of her hips low, and the same earrings she is wearing as well. But the last outfit I have is it's like this camisole material. Like, it's, you know, long, like thin, swishy. It looks like beachy kind of. Maybe it's a halter, but it also might just be spaghetti straps. Baby pink with like palm trees on it, green and red. And then she has like this lime green-ish. I don't know if it's lime or like Christmas tree-ish green. Tube top underneath and the same earrings and bangle. I do not see the belt though. So she said no belt, but I really do like that she's just wearing various jeans and cute tops. It's very of the air. It's like you only need a couple good pairs of jeans and then you can just get all the cute tops. And then your accessories should match more than one outfit. Oh, the economic ability. But yeah, that's it. That's all I've got.
Shots fired, then.
Pew, 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 pew.
Shots fired.
Yes.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew. It's a 22. My first one is Spinner saying to Jimmy, I don't know what to say. It's hard, not for you.
Yeah. I have Manny saying, thank you, Sister Cuckoo Banana.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I'm firing a shot at that fucking cheer.
Yeah.
Blue and gold.
We are Degrassi.
Shut up. Stupid.
I have Jimmy saying, know what? There's nothing you can do. You should probably just go.
I didn't take note of who said it, but somebody said size isn't everything, JT.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I don't know who said that one either.
I don't know who said it.
I have Manny saying, when my new manicure meets your face, then you'll be sorry.
I have Darcy saying, how can I believe someone who's made such enormous life mistakes? Unless you got knocked up on purpose, in which case you've got even bigger issues.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why I assume this man's name is Jared. It might not be, but that's what I wrote down. So his name is Jared. I've Jared, the dude who gets in a fight with everybody, saying, so Degrassi's picking up other school's trash? Hey, did you ever figure out who the father is? That was out of pocket.
It was so out of pocket. I have Jimmy telling Ashley, come over tonight and get your stuff. I can't do this.
You know what? Come over tonight and get your stuff. I can't do this. Does this dumbass just be sitting on these zingers? Because, like, the waiter is, like, cold. He's cold as hell.
Yeah, no, it's so mean.
That's like, some cold shit.
Ashley, he's so mean to Ashley so many times.
Mean to her.
Get out of here, are you deaf? Don't talk to me, you slut. I'd do it myself if I could. You can wheel away, Jimmy. The walking away is metaphorical. You can metaphorically walk away from the relationship.
Metaphorically walk your ass out of here. Oh my gosh. Hilarious. I'm so done with Jimmy. It's the fact that there's like enough of these moments to make a 10 to 12 second video clip. But yeah, I'm done.
Oh, Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy.
Ashley, baby girl, I hope you get better boyfriends.
Right? Same.
Do you have any more shots fired?
I do not.
Ooh, you know who I feel like could be cute?
What?
Ashley and Alex.
Yeah.
Like, let Ashley date a chick or two and let Alex date another chick or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I think they could be ready to be a cute couple.
I could... Sorry. Look, as I'm actively looking away from the mic. I could see... I could entertain that, you know?
Let's start with the super bummers. Because this episode was a super bummer.
It was. It was. It was.
Jimmy. So mean to Ashley.
We learned nothing from this episode. It's for too long. His crimes are left unanswered. But yes, Jimmy, Darcy, obviously.
I guess that's kind of it.
Yeah, I mean, everyone else.
Isabella.
Yeah.
It's not your fault, Isabella, that they just did the They gave you nothing to do. You were like, Isabella's like a whole ass human prop.
Right. She's just there to be there. She barely knows she's alive. She's barely sentient, you know? Yeah. Oh, gosh.
But I feel like we do have some good shining stars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Manny shines.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley shines. It's Spinner. Nice to see Manny and Ashley shining in an episode.
Yeah, both of them together and doing separate work. Definitely.
Spinner shines, definitely. You know, so we have one more.
I think that's it. You have another person?
No.
Okay. I think we're both so fucking over this episode.
So over it. Does it go there?
Does it go there?
I would say yes.
There's boner issues in a teenage setting. Yes.
I feel like adult erectile dysfunction is something that like doesn't get talked about and is like something to be embarrassed about. And be it through paralysis or whatever, there are teenage boys who deal with erectile dysfunction and
and it's,
you know,
it's bold.
Even though Jimmy was being an asshole, they also got to see Ashley being really supportive.
I think that's pretty succinct. I don't really have anything to add to that. There's also the red devil roaring in my belly. So that might... God damn it, Caroline.
I'm so sorry.
So that might affect, like, my care for his penile issues in this episode. Not gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
He's an angry, angry red devil just brewing in my belly. But yeah, on that fabulous note, there's a thing I got to pull up and I haven't got it yet. So just enjoy me singing till I pull up the thing and bang the set.
I feel like I'm going to leave all the awkward pauses in this unedited version. Normally I cut the pauses, you know, because sometimes we get up or something, but no, we'll leave all of them.
All right. Thanks for listening to Your Mom's Podcast. Next week, we will be joined by Terry McGregor and Chris Sharp of the Below the Dot podcast to discuss Darcy's journey into the softcore porn. God damn it. To discuss Darcy's journey into softcore porn in Eyes Without a Face. This episode of Your Mom's Podcast was made possible in part by Viagra, broken condoms, and support from listeners like you.
Let's end this fucking train wreck.
Goodbye. Much like Jimmy couldn't get it up, I can't get excited for this episode. I can't
get excited for this. It's like gonna be a cool 1 hour, 5 minute episode. It's fine. Bye.
That's fine.
We would like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers. Tay,
Evie,
Miranda.
And an extra special thank you to our Titty Snake producers, Alika,
Brandy,
Chelsea,
Corey,
and Tawny.
Thank you, guys. Love you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, If you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-padcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. PAHDCAST. Thank you.